Hashanah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph quotes a braisa that appears in several other mitzvahs as well, that there is a special mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. It doesn't just mean that you have your Cheerios for breakfast and tuna fish sandwich for lunch. It means that it's a mitzvah to eat a little extra. Some Rishonim have a lashon that it's a mitzvah to eat the amount of food that one would normally eat in 2 days, because you're going to fast tomorrow, so you should eat double. So the later Achrayim say that's not to be taken literally. That's the Hachila Gassa, to eat the amount of food that a person would normally eat in 2 days, means a special mitzvah to eat. And they say for Tnuas Amusa, they quote, I think, about Rabbi Saul Falanta or one of the other Gedolei Amusa, that his practice was on Erev Yom Kippur, that he used to have an all day long taffy, that these big lollipops that you stuck all day long. So the mitzvah to eat that Erev Yom Kippur. So someone told him over to Rav Soloveitchik that he thought that that was not proper. He didn't think that that's what the Tanoim had in mind. He just said, yeah, mitzvah to have a suda. Doesn't mean you have to have all day long, you have to nash on something. What is the nature of this inyan? The Rambam assumes that this is a real drosha gemura, that it's a din d'oraisa. The Rambam gives you a list in Hilchos Nedarim. When is it forbidden to fast min Atar? When is it only forbidden to fast min the Rabbanan? So he says, Rosh Chodesh, it's an issa d'oraisa to fast, and Erev Yom Kippur, it's a din d'oraisa. You're not allowed to fast, you have to eat. And on Purim and Chanukah, it's only the Rabbanan. So he understood that this is a drosha gemura. What is the nature of the din? So the Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas, has an essay where he claims that there's a machlekes, a fundamental machlekes in the Rishonim. What is this all about? Rashi and Brachis, this appears in Brachis and Davches. Rashi and Brachis writes, and several other Rishonim write, that is to prepare for the fast. The Torah wants us to eat well, an Erev Yom Kippur, so we should be able to fast better. But then it says, if that's the case, then it doesn't make sense that there should be a mitzvah sachila the night before. Amatzoi Shabbos, when Erev Yom Kippur is on Sunday, so you're going to eat a big Malava Malka. Malava Malka is a mitzvah Malava Malka, but you should eat extra special on the night of Erev Yom Kippur, and that's going to help you for 30 hours later. Whatever you eat then is already going to be gone. It's going to be out of the system. So he thinks that then it only makes sense that the mitzvah sachila should be by Yom. Another Rishonim hold not an independent mitzvah sachila, not connected with the fast on Yom Kippur. The separate mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. What could it possibly be? A separate mitzvah sachila? So some Achrayim suggest that we have a tradition that the Luchas Shnius were brought down on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah says in the end of Tainus, the Mishnah Tainus says that the two jolliest days of the year were Chamishos Abav and Yom Kippur, that they used to make Shidduchim on those days. And the Gemara says, Bishleim Yom Kippur, we understand why, because it's Yom Shinitzna Baluchas Shnius. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Hasinai with second Luchas on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is basically the Yom Kabbalah Satar, like Shavuot is the Yom Matan Tarasein. So Yom Kippur is also Yom Matan Tarasein. So, and the Gemara says in Sochim that there is a Machlekes Rav Lezer and Rav Yeshua, how is one supposed to observe Pesach and Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah? Do you say that you have to have Chetzil Hashem and Chetzil Hashem? There's a contradiction between two psukim. Because the one pasuk sounds like it's a Seres Tiel Hashem. You should eat and drink and enjoy yourself and be merry. Because the other pasuk says a Seres Hashem Alkech. You should dedicate the day to spiritual activities. So okay, so how do you resolve this apparent contradiction between two psukim? So sometimes you have Shnei Ksuvim on Krishna Zeh Asher L'Kos V'Ashlishi V'Yechvi Ebenei. If you have a third pasuk, that resolves the contradiction. Here there is no Kos V'Ashlishi V'Yechvi Ebenei. So what's the Midah Shatar Nidreshes then? How do you deal with such a case? So that's a machlekes satanoim. So Rav Lezer says, whenever you have Shnei Ksuvim on Krishna and there is no Kos V'Ashlishi, so the answer is, it's optional. Either you do A or B. You can either do one or the other. But if you do A, it has to be all the way. And if you do B, it has to be all the way. You should be O Kul Hashem O Kul Lachem. You should learn a whole day. It probably doesn't mean that, but the only going to, it doesn't mean that you have to fast on Pesach and on Sukkot. It means you eat Cheerios for breakfast and tuna fish sandwich for whatever one would normally eat on a regular weekday. You should eat the same on Yontif. Because the psukim that speak about Kibbutz Yonim, that's on Shabbos, it doesn't say on Yontif. So Rav Lezer says it's optional. You can either observe Yontif in a way where it's kula lachem, You have to have a little bit L'Hashem. You have to Hakisba Yom Vavon. You have to learn a little bit. You have to daven a little bit, but not such a long davening. Either you should have a big meal, or you should have a lot of davening and a lot of learning and a lot of drushes and a lot of chazlanas, whatever. Kubal Hashem and cut down on the lachem. That's Reb Lezer's opinion. Reb Lezer's opinion. We don't paskin like Reb Lezer. Whenever there's a machlek, Reb Lezer, Reb Yeshua, we rarely paskin like Reb Lezer. The Gemara says Reb Lezer was from the Beis Shammai, Reb Lezer Shamutehu, and just like Beis Shammai's opinions were not accepted, so Ruba de Ruba, Reb Lezer's opinions were not accepted, so we paskin like Reb Yeshua. And his opinion is whenever you have shnei ksuvim on makishim zezer, there is no kasev hashlishi shechri b'neihem. You should understand on your own to make a compromise between the two ksuvim. So he understands that. You should try to divide the day in half. Half should be Lachem and half should be Lashem. You have another play. Rabbi Yosef Engel points out in one of his poems that you have this style of machlokes between Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shua, and other cases as well. When you have Shnei Ksuvim, Krishma Zezed, there is no Kosev Ashlishi, Shechri Benayim. So how do you deal with this? So Rabbi Lezer says it's optional, either A or B. And Rabbi Shua says, no, Chalkei, you have to understand on your own. So the Gemara says there in Pesachim, when they quote this machlokes, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shua, how to celebrate Pesach and how to celebrate Sukkot, that on Shavuot, Hakol Moedim Basteres, all the Tanoim agree that on Shavuot, it is important to have significant meals. You should eat more than on a regular weekday. You should have elaborate meals because that's the Yom Kabbalah Satorah. Yom Shinitim Atorah, so it's understood you have to have elaborate meals. So the Achrayim ask a question, so what's with Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the Yom Kabbalah Satorah, and we fast. So some say that that's exactly what the nature of the mitzvah sachil is. On Erev Yom Kippur, you have to eat. On Erev Yom Kippur, on the occasion, covered Kabbalah Satorah. Yom Kippur, the Torah says you have to fast. But on Erev Yom Kippur, the mitzvah sachila is unrelated to the tannis. It's not to prepare for the tannis to make it easier to fast, but rather a separate mitzvah sachila. A separate mitzvah sachila, so it's nitan lahiyomer, that it's a whole day long, including the night before, including Leil Erev Yom Kippur. So this is a machlokes in Rishonim. Whether the mitzvah sachila and Erev Yom Kippur only applies by Yom or it even applies by Laila. There used to be a professor here in the neighborhood who taught in City College. He was quite a character. So when he had Yeshiva Bachrim who didn't want to write a term paper, they wanted to take an exam later, and all kinds of terutzim. They're busy learning. So they don't have time to spend so much time on his course. So he would always say, where do you learn and what do you learn and which masichta are you learning? So he would always, whenever they would tell him what masichta, he would always ask him a question that for sure they wouldn't know. So whenever they said they were learning ksubas, beginning of ksubas, they would always ask this question. Because in Shulchan Aruch they quote a Rashi in the first paragraph of ksubas, Dafhei or so. I forgot already, Rashi takes a stand one way or the other, whether the mitzvah sachila is only on Erev Yom Kippur by Yom or it's even the night before. So of course no one ever knew his answer. So he said, why should he exempt them from a term paper or an exam if they're not really learning? They're just wasting their time. But the Vilna Gaon, the Nitziv, quotes in his essay on the Shilchus, quotes the Vilna Gaon, and the Bir Agrot says that in Shulchan Aruch, that Tumin Hagim, on Erev Yom Kippur, whether you say long slichas or you say short slichas. So the Vilna Gaon says that he thinks that it's totally zebizet, that you don't say slichas on a yontif. On Yom Kippur you do say slichas, that's what Yom Kippur is all about. But if you were to have a yontif, so you shouldn't say long arichas of slichas. So on Erev Yom Kippur, we treat the day as a yontif because of this mitzvah sachila. So the question is, well, when does a mitzvah sachila begin? That one should assume, and the slichas are, the minig is, the slichas are supposed to be said by Lila. Not everybody lives up to that minig, but that's the minig is, the Rambam writes the minig, supposed to say slichas by Lila. Supposed to wake up in the middle of the night and say slichas, and then continue at sheyei or hayom until it gets light, and then you daven shachrit. So the question is whether Leil, Erev Yom Kippur, is a Yom Tov or not. If you hold that the mitzvah sachila is by Yom or Balayla all day long and Erev Yom Kippur, that means even Balayla is a Yom Tov, then our minig is, in Eastern Europe, the minig was that they said very brief slichas, 15 minutes, and they call it quits. And in other parts of Europe, the minig was that they said very long slichas, because they held that the Yom Tov is only by Yom. The mitzvah sachila is only by Yom, and Balayla, there's no mitzvah sachila, Leil, Erev Yom Kippur, there's no mitzvah sachila, so there's no Yom Tov. The closer you come to Yom Kippur, it makes sense that you should say more slichas. And then it developed that they said, extra long, 2 hours of slichas. So the Nitziv puts all of this together. This is really the Bir Agro explains on the Ramon, Shulchan Aruch, that the two minhagim were the long slichas, short slichas, is whether the mitzvah sachila is only by yomer or tzivim balala. But the Nitziv puts it all together, whether the nature of the mitzvah sachila is to prepare for Yom Kippur, to prepare for the fast, like Rashi wrote in Brachas Aches, or it's a separate mitzvah sachila unrelated to preparing for the fast. The Kivega has such a discussion, whether the mitzvah sachila on every Yom Kippur is a separate mitzvah, and the Tshuvas he discusses, or it's to prepare for the Tanis. He raises the question, a woman wasn't feeling well on every Yom Kippur, so she really didn't want to eat. She didn't have any appetite. It would have been better for her not to eat. So the shaila is, does the mitzvah sachila apply to her as well? Maybe it should be a mitzvah sasei shas man gromos, that women should be exempt. But if you say that the nature of the mitzvah is to prepare for the tonis, so then the women are mechuyev in the tonis. So whoever is mechuyev in the tonis should have to eat on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Kivega raises that question. He doesn't go into the details, though, whether the mitzvah sachila on every Yom Kippur is an independent mitzvah or it's a form of hachana for the Tanna. The observance of Yom Kippur begins on every Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that the Chachamim were misakim that when we should daven mincha on every Yom Kippur before the Surah Hamafsekas, and we should say vidui at the end of the tefillah balachas that we say. The Gemara quotes in the last parak in Yuma, the Gemara says that the vidui, when a yochid daven shmona esrei, he says the vidui omer achat filot, he says the vidui after he finishes the shmona esrei. When the chazan says the vidui in the chazaras hashatan yom kippur, he says the vidui in the middle of the shmona esrei. After yalav yavoy, then you say all the slichas. Or if you don't say slichas, but that you say a little bit of slichas, but that's when you say the vidui in the chazaras hashat in the on Yom Kippur. Myrav, there is no chazaras hashat for shachris and musaf and mincha nilo. After yalav yavoy, then you start saying slichas. They start saying the vidui. What about erev Yom Kippur? The chazan should repeat the vidui in the chazaras hashat on erev Yom Kippur. So Shulchan Aruch says that our practice is that not. This was a big discussion in the days of the Gaonim. Otzer Rabbanim quotes all the different practices about this. And they say vidui in the middle of, what do you mean, in the middle of the Shmona Esrei? What, the middle bracha? What's the middle bracha going to be? Lam Alshinim? Or Hashiveinu? Hashiva Shavtenik Varishan or something. In the middle of right there in the center, that's out of the question. The vidui just doesn't fit in over there. What? So the chazan should say the vidui after the chazan, the middle bracha on erev Yom Kippur. There are no brachas in the middle that have to do with Yom Kippur. But what should the chazan say the vidui after the chazaras hashat? So the goyim have an expression after he finishes the whole Shmona Esrei, he's ois shliach tzibur. He's no more chazan. He's only the chazan. They only made him the chazan to say the Shmona Esrei. So what's he going to say? The vidui achar atfila. Achar atfila finished. After he finishes Shmona Esrei, he's no more shliach tzibur. He's not going to accomplish anything. So some goyim said, let him say the vidui in the middle of slachlam alvina ki chatanu. Like in the days of the Bali Ateses, the minig was that on a tainis, on Sarah B'Tavis, on Shabbat B'Tamas, when they said slichas, they would say slichas in the middle of Chazaras Hashat. But they still do embroiderers over here. They have the minig from the days of the Bali Ateses. They never changed. So they say slichas for 20 minutes, slichas on Sarah B'Tavis and Shabbat B'Tamas in the middle of Chazaras Hashat. In the middle of the bracha of slachlo navinu ki chatan. So that's what the Goyim write. Some Goyim introduced the practice of saying the chazan recites the vidui in chazaras hashat mincha erev Yom Kippur in the middle of the bracha of slachlo navinu ki chatan. What does he do that for? So they say mikra din. They don't think that it's necessary. Mikra din. The vidui in erev Yom Kippur, special takana berabbanan to say in mincha before the Suda Mafsekas, that's not the real din. The real vidui is on Yom Kippur. Not on erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, maybe, the Gemara gives a whole question what the reason means. The Gemara gives a special reason why they made such a takon. So they said, the Goyim all hold mikra din, it's not necessary for the chazan to repeat the vidui and the chazaras hashat at all. But there were some keilas where the people didn't know how to say vidui on their own. They didn't have a siddur. Or even if they had a siddur, they didn't know how to daven. So they were davening by heart. So the regular Bachadigdash Manasseh said, they knew how to say the vidui, they didn't know how to say. So on Yom Kippur, they got to be out with the chazan when he repeats the vidui in the chazaras hashat. And every Yom Kippur, he's not going to repeat the vidui, so what's going to be? So no keilas where they stuck ahead, Ami Horet. So there, the Goyim recommended, okay, if the Balabatim are Amaratim, they don't know how to say the vidui, so then have the chazan say it in the middle of the Chazaras Hashat. But whenever you don't have such a problem, whenever the Balabatim are able to say the Vida on their own, but you just repeat the Chazoras Hashat because of the Takanas Chachomim, and not really being Moitzi and a Baki. Everybody more or less knows how to daven. Hebrew, English, whatever, they basically know what they're saying. The only thing is, it's a takana to repeat Chazoras Hashat. On Erev Yom Kippur, there never was such a takana that the Shliach Tzibur should have to repeat the Vida as well. Exactly what does the Lashon HaGemara mean when the Gemara says Yochid Omer Achat Tfilosoi and the Shat Omer Be'emsa? To be mighty, the Enobaki, right, so that the Rambam raises that question, one of the Tshuvas of Rambam. So why do we still continue Chazaras Hashat today in the shul? So whoever does not know how to daven basically doesn't come to shul. The people who come to shul are the committed, those who know how to daven. So what do we repeat Chazaras Hashat? So the Rambam says that the reason for the takana, but once they make a takana, the takana is binding even if the reason no longer applies. Like a Dovish of the Minyan. That's how the Rambam writes in a tshuva. With the Vidu, you mean? Yeah. So why not repeat the Vidu? So they say, no, that takana was only on the Tfila, on the Amida, on the Shemoneh Esrei. The Vidu and Erev Yom Kippur, separate takana of Chachamim, separate takana of the Rabban. So that's not mechuyev to Fazorg that everybody, that they never made a special takana. If your community has a local problem that there are a lot of people don't know how to say Vidu, so it's all the Chazan Zogne Vidu. Let him say the Shemoneh Esrei. But if you don't have the problem, so you don't. That was never included. That's how the Goyim write. It was never included in Takana. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. That by Yahus, when the Chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei and Mincha and Erev Yom Kippur, he doesn't say the Vida.
Kippur itself, you say
Everyone is going to say on their own. Yeah, but the problem is, what if you have people that don't know how to say the Vida?
They do quietly. We're doing quietly anyway.
But what if they don't know how to say that?
So they don't know
what they're supposed to say.
They don't have to say anything.
So they listen to the Chazan who says the Vida in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei.
He says it quietly.
No, the Chazan is really supposed to say it out loud. Yeah, the whole thing. In fact, the minig of the Gro, the Gemara says when the Chazan gets to the Vida, everybody has to stand. It would appear from the Gemara in Yumed that during the Chazaras Hashat there was decorum in the shul, and everybody was sitting. And like in all the modern synagogues, everybody sits in Chazaras Hashat. But when it comes to the Vidu, the Gemara says he's supposed to stand. Now, when the Chazan says the Vidu in the Chazaras Hashat on Yom Kippur, and everybody stands, doesn't mean they all stand and they all say the Vidu along with them. Oh, no. So the Gemara said no, the Chazan should say the Vidu and they should just listen. They're not supposed to say the Chazaras Hashat with them. They already said Malachash before. They should not say. The minig most places is that everybody says along with the Chazan, but they shouldn't drown out the Chazan. The Chazan should really say everything out loud. At least our minig is that you don't have to say, you say the whole Aleph Beis. You say a whole list. You don't have to say a whole Aleph Beis full of Yidun. If you say 8, you say 10 is also good enough. So the Chazan basically says more than 10 out loud. He says one in the beginning and one in the middle and then another pause. He says around 10 out loud. So that's good enough. But really, he's supposed to say everything out loud. The Kohen Gadol is table 5 times on Yom Kippur, but he does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim 10 times. Right. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Achrayim that the minig is that we have 10 Viduyim. That is correct. We have 10 Viduyim.
You start getting on, like we suggested before.
Yeah, that number 10, that statement that the Achrayim made is based on our practice that was established by the Gaonim, that the Chazan does not repeat the Vidui in Mincha and Erev Yom Kippur. Otherwise it would be 11.
Right.
Otherwise you would have 11, you wouldn't have 10. There is a...
Are we assuming that the Amoratim are coming to Shalom Yom Kippur? Maybe this is what Yoni was asking, that on Erev Yom Kippur we don't say Vidui because nobody's in Amoratim, so we don't need to say in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, but on Yom Kippur we still say in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei.
On Yom Kippur it's a din, it's part of the Chazaras Hashat. So the Chazan has to say the whole Chazaras Hashat out loud. That was a Takanas HaChachamim, it says that the Chazan has to say the Vidui Be'emtza Tfilosai, Yochid Amar Achat Tfilosai, And the Shatzim are Bemtza Tfilos. So that's the Takana that he has to say. Originally, the whole Chazaras HaShatz was instituted because of the Ein Abaki. And at that time, it was required that the Chazan has to say the whole Vidu in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. And even later, if you have a shul where everybody knows how to daven, still, that was part of the Takana Tfilos. But Arev Yom Kippur, they never made such a takon. That's what the Goyim say. There is a question in Achrayim when the Gemara has a lashon that the Yochid Omer Achat Filosa. What exactly does that mean, Achat Filosa? It means he says it at the conclusion of the Shmoneh Esrei, or he says it after he finished davening Shmoneh Esrei. What's the difference? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, they quote from the Vilna Gaon like this. Rav Soloveitchik used to say the question is, when you finish Amavarchas Amisol Bashalom, an Erev Yom Kippur, or a Mayrev, a Shachas, a Muzla, a Mincha, Nila, whenever, so before you say Yidu L'Ratzin Imri Tfiyah, Shmoneh Esrei is not over. It says in Shulchan Aruch, let's say a person is in the middle of the Tfiloh, Alakai Nesol Deshani Mirah, and the Chazan is up to Kedusha. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you enter Kedusha, because basically that's Tachanun Emachat Tfiloh. That's not an integral part of the Shmoneh Esrei. But the question is, what about Yil Eratin Emrifi? You just finished Amavarach HaSamisol Bashovan, and everybody's saying, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Can you answer along? And they say, no. You're still in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. You're not allowed to answer along. Yil Eratin Emrifi, that's the Pasuk in Tila. Is that Pasuk considered Al Pidin the conclusion of the Shmoneh Esrei? And before you say Yil Eratin, you're not finished yet with the Shmoneh Esrei? Or should you say, no? Yil Eratin was introduced as Tachnunim, Acha Tfilah, so that's also Tfilah, it's also Tchinah. The Shmoneh Esrei is finished with Amavarach HaSamisol Bashovan. Whatever people say in Aseret Mitzvah. But the Shulchan Aruch, this is a machlokes in Rishonim. The Rashbon, the first Perek in Brachos, has a machlokes with the Raizit. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that until you say Yil L'Ratzin Imri Fi, you're not allowed to answer Kedusha. You're not allowed to answer Baruch. That's in Hilchos Tefillah, the first Chelek in the Mishnah Brura. So here on Yom Kippur, there is a machlokes achreinim. Should you say the Vidui before Yil L'Ratzin Imri Fi or after Yil L'Ratzin Imri Fi? They quote that the Vilna Goyim and the Siddur Agro, I don't know how reliable anything is. Yeah? They quote in the Siddur Agro that his practice was that he said Vidui before Yil L'Ratzin Imri Fi, that it should be considered part of the Shmoneh Esrei. That he understood that the Takanas Chachamim was to recite the Vidui not after the Shmoneh Esrei, like it sounds, Yochid Omer Achar Filosoi. He understood it does mean achar, after, it means at the conclusion of the Shmoneh Esrei as you're about to finish. But if you're going to say Yil L'Ratzin, then it's mamish after, then you finished already, then you're not yet to the takana. And other achrayim say, no, you should first say Yil L'Ratzin Imri Fi, and then say the Vida, because they understand that the takana was that the Vida should be recited after the conclusion, after you will finish with the Shmoneh Esrei. So you're not finished until you say Yil L'Ratzin Imri Fi. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, though. On this Gemara, on this on Yuma, there's a the Ravan, is one of the Balei Atesis. He has a running commentary on all the Masechtos, a little here, a little there. So the Ravan writes over here: what if a person is davening on Yom Kippur, let's say Shacharis, and it takes him a long time till he pronounces all the words, and he's in the middle of this long vidui, and the Chazan is up to Kedusha already. Should he enter Kedusha or not? When you're in the middle of Vidui, it's like being in the middle of a Lakan the Shani Mirot, like Chinas Tachnun Machat Tfilosoi, or do you say no? It's considered that it's an integral part of the Shmoneh Esrei. So the Ravon says, no, it's like Tachnun Machat Tfilosoi. Of course you can answer Kedusha. And he says, because that's the Lashon HaGemara. Yochid Omer Achat Tfilosoi. Achat means after you're all finished. But he assumes a double Pasha like that. But the Takana, the Hepach from the Vilna Gaon, the Takana was that the Vida should be recited after he concludes the Shmoneh Esrei. So whatever is the conclusion of the Shmoneh Esrei, if Amvorach HaSamisol Bashalom would be the conclusion, then you say Vida right afterwards. So the first thing should be the Vida. And if you say no, the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, that until you say Yil L'Ratzin Imri Fi, you're not allowed to answer Baruch Hu HaKadosh HaKadosha, means that Yil L'Ratzin is the conclusion of the Shmoneh Esrei. It's not Tachnu L'Machat Tfilosoi. Then he answers B'davka. You have to say Yil L'Ratzin before you say the Vida. This is just the opposite from the premise that the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having gone with Rav Soloveitchik. Always assumed like the Vilna Gaon that Yil L'Ratzin is an integral part of the Shmoneh Esrei. And the machlokes in Achrayim, where they say the Vidui before or after, this is the machlokes. Should the Vidui be part of the Shmoneh Esrei, or should it be B'davka after the conclusion of the Shmoneh Esrei? Anyway, the different opinions in Poskim on this issue. on no, there are two opinions in the Rishayim Gufa. Yeah. The Ravon says like this, and other Rishayim also, if you read slowly and carefully, it's Mefurish. The two opinions already say. The later Rakhayim just thought that they didn't have a Ravon, they didn't have the other Rishayim. But it's Mefurish, two opinions in the Rishon. And on Leil Yom Kippur, when we come to Shul, the minig is that the Chazan makes an announcement, Bishivu Shalmaila, Bishivu Shalmata, Aldaas HaMokam, Aldaas HaKol, Anachnu Matim, Hispalu Limo Abar Yonim. It means that it's on the Shulchan Aruch to explain what it means, that if a person violated a Cherem HaKohol, so sometimes they'll put it, a person violated an Avera, so sometimes they'll put him in Cherem, and the Cherem meant that he's not allowed to show up in Shul, and he shows up in Shul, we stop davening. Sometimes we stop davening, or you kick him out. We stop davening, or you kick him out. We tell him be kind enough to leave. On a Tainus Tzibur, the Gemara says increases. Call Tainus Tzibur, Shein Bo Ben Poshi Yisrael, ain't a Tainus Tzibur. If you want to have a Tainus Tzibur, you have to include Rishoyim as well. The Gemara brings the Raya from the Ktoiris that the Chelbano was one of the Yud Al Samamana that was mixed in, and the Chelbano has Recho Ra, has a very bad odor to it. So why do you mix it in? Once you're going to mix it in with the other 10, so you're out someone. So once you mix it in with the others, you don't smell the bad aroma from the chalvanah. But why do you mix it in if it doesn't enhance the smell? So the answer is to represent this idea. You have to be mitzarf the rotten apples also. You have to be mitzarf the rishoyim by a tiny steeper. There's a famous comment that the Maharsho has on that Gemara, that the Minchas Aluza quotes, I think he writes that the Maharsho was an Alta Zeta of his. He says, yeah, that's why you need 11 Samim on him, because the Chelvana is the Russia, he's not been starved for the minion. So you have to have 10 religious Jews aside from him. The Minchas Aluza has, he lived during the First World War, so he died before the Second World War. So he has a discussion that maybe they should be Goyza Tainas. It was a tsarist, there was a war going on, people were getting killed. Maybe they should be Goyza Tainas. So he says, maybe they should have a Tainas Tzibur. So he's opposed. He says, what kind of Tainas Tzibur? A Tainas Tzibur is only if people are going to do tshuva. Who has to do tshuva? We, he was like the Natura Karta, he was anti-Zionist. We don't have to do any tshuva, we are doing everything right. The Zionists, they're never going to do tshuva. They're the source of all the trouble. He says, the Aguda, they're worse than the Zionists. He gives a whole explanation. Then he says, you want to have a Tainas, it has to be Yeshua with Poshe Yisrael. Well, these guys, Poshe Yisrael have to come, they have to participate, they have to do tshuva. They're not going to do tshuva. We don't have to do tshuva, and they're not going to do tshuva. Has a whole hang-up about this. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that we're matir, on matir l'spalei mavayon, we're matir, that the Bali Aver who are in Cherem are invited to please come to the shul. In Yiddish folklore, they say that the word tzibur is a Rosh Tevis, if you spell it tzadik beis reish, without the bow, is a Rosh Tevis tzadik and beinanim in Rishoyim. That the tzibur is supposed to consist of everybody together, and on Yom Kippur it's supposed to be a kaparas al tzibur, it's not a kaparas al yoga. When you bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, that's a private personal kaparas al yoga. But when you have Yom Kippur as machaper, that's a kaparas al tzibur. So you want to have a whole tzibur together, you want to have tzaddik and beinanim and rishonim, everybody should be together on Yom Kippur. So that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that we have to be matel hispal lim ha'avayon. On Yom Kippur.
In the Gehillim and Mishlei and the Rambam and Turkey, others, they all say to stay away from Rishayim. That Gemara increases. It's an exception to that rule?
Yeah, and a Tainus Tzibur.
Except that generally throughout the year we say, even if you're from me, the Rambam says you should stay away because they might influence you.
Altis Kabbalah Rosh Avada. That's correct. The first Pasuk in Mishlei, the first Pasuk in Tila. Yeah, Avada. On Yom Kippurim we have the various Inuyim. The main two Inuyim, Achila Shtia, and we assume that that even though the Pasuk says the Inisim is Nafshesechem is written Balosh and Mitzvesesei, but all the Rishonim assume that there's a Loiseis as well, and whoever eats on Yom Kippur gets Malkus, because he's in violation of a law, not just a Mitzvesesei, there's a Mitzvesesei as well. Whoever, the Rambam writes, Whoever fasts on Yom Kippur, I raise a key in Mitzvah Sefer. It's not just an Issur Asa, it's a key of Mitzvah, even though it's fulfilled B'Sheve Al-Tata by not eating. It doesn't do anything before Miyaseh. But still it's a key of Mitzvah, and there's also a Lois Asay. That's the problem. Where do they fish out a lav? Where is there a Pasuk? So the Rishonim have Gemaras, but they worked on that, where the lav is, but it's assumed that that there is Malkus. The Gemara has differences between Achila b'Yom HaKippurim as opposed to Achilas Macholos Asuris, because of the fact that it's Din Avinui, the Inisim Esnam Shesei Moshel. The Din usually is, according to the Rambam, that the Shear from Malkus on Macholos Asuris is Kizayis, and on Trefa Mashkim the Shear would be Revius. That's the question of Mishnayis Nazir. How much wine does the Nazir have to drink in order to get Malkus? Is it Kizayis or Revius? Or maybe it's Malay Lugmov? But the Rambam writes like that. The Mashkim is Revius, and Ochlam is Gezeit. And on Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, the Shurma differs bein lahokal bein lahachmer. The Shir for eating is larger than a Gezeit. It's Kosevet Hagasa. And if you eat less than Kosevet Hagasa, that's a Chatzi Shir. That's the first Sugiya in the last pair. Chatzi Shir is also on Yom Kippur. Is it also in Aser? Is it also in the Rabbanon? We pass like Rabbi Yechanan. The Chatzi Shir is also in Aser, even on Yom Kippur. Even on Yom Kippur, all year long for sure, but even on Yom Kippur also Chatzi Shir. You could have argued the point, if it's a din of Inui, so what's Shaykh Achatzi Inui? He's still Mauna. But even on Yom Kippur, you still say the Chasam Sefer points out in the Chidushim. Even on Yom Kippur, you still say the Chatzi Shir Ras Matar. So regarding Achila, the Shir is bigger than Kazayas. And regarding Shtir, the Shir is smaller than Revius. The Shir on Yom Kippur is a Revius, is a Beito Machto on all traces. And Yom Kippur, the Shir is Maloy Lugmov. Maloy Lugmov by an autumn bain, and he is a Rov Revius. But much less than a Revius, only a Rov Revius. And the Gemara explains, Manishtana, how come on Yom Kippur the Shir Achila is different and the Shir Shtiyah is different? So the answer is because here, it wasn't formulated by the Chumash in a Nusach of Loy Sochlu. It doesn't say Lo Sochlu by Yom Kippur. It says the Inisim, it's an Inui. The Kim Lehu Rabbana, and the Gemara says that they established that that's the Shir for Inui. For Achila, it depends on Kasevis Agasa, and for Shtia, it depends on Maloy Lugmot. The Shagasaria has in his Sefer Achidish, which is Negel La'alocha, sometimes a person doesn't feel well and he has to eat something on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, whenever you can minimize, if a person is a Chayla Mesukon, so he's allowed to eat whatever he has to eat. Well, let's say a person is not a Chayla Mesukon, and he wants to eat something. So can we somehow knock it down to a Dinda Rabbonon and be makel sometimes in the case of a Chayla Shem B'Sakon? How can one possibly knock down an Easter Achilah to be a the Rabbonon? So let's say you eat Shulukah Derech Achilos, a person eats Trefus. The Bein is a Trefus, Shulukah Derech Achilos. And let's say very, very salty. It's so salty it tastes awful. Or it's so burning hot, or it's so ice cold, straight from the freezer. He burns his tongue because it's so freezing cold, or it's so hot. Or he poured on so much mustard, he's burning his tongue. So that's called Shaloka Derech Achilosa. So on Kola Terkulo, Shaloka Derech Achilosa is only an Issa Derabbanon. And the Gemara says, by Chayav Hashem Misakana, you would be Mater, Shaloka Derech Achilosa, the second Terekim Sochim. So the Shagasari writes that he thinks on Yom Kippur, Shaloka Derech Achilosa will be an Issa Deraisa. He doesn't think that lowers it down to the level of Derabbanon. Why? He says, because the Gemara in Sochim says that there are two exceptions to the rule. But Shaloka Derech Achilosa is still an Issa Deraisa. One is Basa B'chol, and one is Kloy HaKeren. Because by these two prohibitions, the verb Achila doesn't appear. It says, L'Sevashol G'di B'chalevi Mo three times, and they have Yafus that it even includes Achila. And by Kloy HaKeren, it says, Pentukdash Amalei Azer Shatizah Tuas HaKoren, Pentukdash Pentukadesh. It's the Yafus that it's also Ba'ano, also Ba'achila, but it never really says Loshan Achila. So since it's not written Loshan Achila, so the Gemara says even Shlok Derech Achilosoi would constitute an Issa Derech. So the Shagzai writes on his own, based on the Gemara there, and Yom Kippur also never says the Loshan Achila, it says the Inisim. So he thinks that Shlok Derech Achilosoi will also be an Issa Derech, and you won't have a Heter. By Chol Hashem B'Sakana, you won't have any Kula to do Shlok Derech Achilosoi. The Gemara is Heter, and Sochim, and the second Terech will not apply to Yom Kippur. That's his whole raya from the Gemara in Sochim, that whenever the prohibition isn't formulated by Loshan Achila, so even Shlok Derech Achilosoi will be an Issa Derech. The Sfasem is, doesn't quote the Shagasari, he's mechaven on his own to the same Chiddush, and he writes, he has a raya from the Mishnah, the first opening Mishnah, on Ayin Gimel on Beis, in the last Perek in Yuma. The Mishnah says, Kol Ha'echlem Mitzar from the Kekosev, V'chol Ha'mashkim Mitzar from the Meloi Lugmov. So he says, wait a minute, Sometimes, let's say a person has orange juice, a little bit, and right after the orange juice, he's going to have milk. He's going to have two mashkim that just don't blend in together. Going to give him a bellyache. Each mashka per se is edible. If he eats food that's not roi l'achila, a person eats food that nitzal l'achila sodom, that's a different thing. It's not called food. But if you eat food that is roi l'achila, each food per se is roi l'achila, but you're eating it in such a way that the combination of two foods is going to give you an upset stomach. Does that stuff should look at the erech achila upside? The Akam, the Mishnah says, kol ha'ochel mitzar from the kachoy seven. Chayt eats a pickle and eats that there's another maichel. And the two macholim are tied to the satra. Kol ha-mashkim is tar from lekim loy lugmov. He drinks two mashkim one after the other that don't blend in together. It's going to give him a bellyache. He's going to throw up or something. So from the Mishnah would appear that that is usher. That's shalukah derech achilas. Each mashke per se, each shalukah per se is royal achila. But you're eating it shalukah derech achilas. So he thinks that from the Mishnah would appear that there would be an issa deraisa in this case. Gemara has a din. Gemara mentions a din regarding Yom Kippur and Zar Shochal Truma, that if you eat achila gasa, it's not an isa deraisa. But that person ate the sudam of sekas and every Yom Kippur he stuffed. He ate so much he stuffed. And then comes Yom Kippur, and then Leil Yom Kippur he eats another salami sandwich and is ready to plus. It's coming out of his nose already. It's coming out of his ears. How much can he eat? He's going to throw up from eating so much. So the Gemara says that it doesn't constitute an isa deraisa. If he eats achila gasa, it doesn't constitute an isa deraisa. And then the Gemara has the same thing regarding a zar shochal truma. A zar shochal truma is an aveira that is mitzvah b'dei shamayim, and a zar shochal truma b'sheikin has to give karen b'chaimesh. So what if the zar was ochal truma in the form of achila gasa? He's so stuffed from eating his own food, and after he ate his own food, then he eats some bread or cake or cookies that's trumadik, and it's mamash achila gasa. He's cut in the zayna. So the Gemara says in that case, it doesn't constitute an isa deraisa. He doesn't have to give the karma chemish. The Taisus assumes, Taisus and many Balia Taisus assume that who are denami, that if a person eats a korban pesach achila gasa, he's not yaitse. If he eats matz achila gasa, he's not yaitse. If he eats the bas zachal of achila gasa, if he eats any of the babies, anything achila gasa, lashma achila. So then in kola terakulam. Either is a Gemara in Pesachim, there is a Gemara in Nazir that says, Ki sharm dachei Hashem at tzadikim yelchubom uposhim yikoshlubom. That's an answer. So the Gemara says, Mashal ma'adav adayma. What is it referring to? Shnei anoshim, the two people eating from the same korban Pesach, they're both doing a mitzvah. Ki sharm dachei Hashem tzadikim yelchubom uposhim yikoshlubom. The tzadik eats the korban Pesach properly. He didn't eat min amincha l'mayla on Erev Pesach, so he eats it normally. So he's yaitzei. And the Rishayim stuffed themselves on Erev Pesach. They were nashing all Erev Pesach. So when they eat the Korban Pesach, it's on Chila Gasa. So Ufoshim Mikosh Levon. They both looked like they're both doing the same. They're both eating at the same Seder. They're both eating the same Korban Pesach. Ufoshim Mikosh Levon, because they ate it at Chila Gasa. So then the Gemara has a taina in Nazi, when the Gemara has this comment, just because he ate it at Chila Gasa, so Ufoshim Mikosh Levon. He, the Loyabit Mitzvah Min Amuvcha, Mitzvah Miyakov, and he still did the Mitzvah. Ella, no, it goes on a different case. But just eat the Korban Pesach, Achila Gata, that's not so bad. The Taisin says, but don't we have a klal and kol ha-tarakula that Achila Gata, lav shma Achila. The Taisin says, Mistama, the Gemara means a different thing, not Achila Gata. That the Foshim Mikosh Levon means that they ate so much, they were gnashing so much in our Pesach, that they're ready, when they eat the Korban Pesach, they're ready to plot. Nah, it just means that they don't eat it, let's say, oven. They're not hungry. They ate late dinner on Erev Pesach. They ate lunch on Erev Pesach 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're not so hungry when it comes to Erev Pesach when they eat the Korban Pesach. But it's not the two kinds of achila gasa. There's an achila gasa that it's caught the mizono. He's so stuffed that what he eats now, he's ready to throw up. So that's lashma achila and kolat arkulam. That's a mitzvah, not for others. There's another achila gasa that just means that it's not eating it with the yovit. But that's the Gemara says, need the loyovit mitzvah min amufa, mitzvah miyakovit. They didn't do the teyovit. So he doesn't have the hidden mitzvah, but he did. That shita sataisa is the kama mekam. That this din of achila gasa, lav shma achila, is not a din that's only restricted to Yom Kippur It's a universal din to all cases of achila. The Kerenayra points out that from the Rambam would appear not so, because the Rambam never writes this as a general call. The Rambam only quotes it by Yom Kippur, and he quotes it by Hilchos Trumas, by Zav Shachal Trumas B'Shoigek. So from the Rambam would appear that he understood that these are two separate dinim, and there's no Tzara Shavu Shebinei. What are the two separate dinim? So he explains a little bit. Rav Soloveitchik also used to say like this Kerenayra, that in the Shita Sarambam, that the Rambam seems to hold Mashma from the Rambam that the two dinim on Yom Kippur is not an Isur Achila, it's a din of Inui. But that's not a violation of Inui. If he's, what he's eating doesn't really satisfy his hunger pangs, he's not absolutely not hungry at all, the mamish ready to plot, he's overeating, so that per se is not a violation of Inui. It would be a violation of achila. It would be a mitzvah achila by korban pesach. It would be a mitzvah achila by matzah. It would be a violation of achila by macholas asuris. But he can't say it's a violation of inui. Can't say it's kol hanefesh shelo tuna. He was tuna. And by zasha chachuma b'shegeg, Rav Soloveitchik thought also that the kavanah doesn't have such a, by Yom Kippur the kavanah writes inui. By zasha chachuma b'shegeg doesn't have a pshat. Rav Soloveitchik said he thinks the pshat is like this. There are rayas, Yosef Engel has rayas to this, that the prohibition of a zar to eat truma means that he shouldn't be mevatel the mitzvah of the truma. The mitzvah is that kohanim should eat truma. When a kohen eats truma, it's not some that it's a heter, that a zar is not allowed to, and a kohen is permitted to. No, it's a mitzvah. The Rambam writes on the last page in the Hilchos Trumas that when a kohen eats truma, even truma chutzlor, the Rambam writes that he says two brachas. First he says, Amotzi lechem min ha'aretz, if it's bread, or he says, Bar pri hadama, if it's potatoes or whatever. And then he says, Asher kedushanu b'kedushato shelar mitzvonu al achilas truma. Because he's fulfilling a mitzvah when he eats truma. It's a mitzvah sensei. So the Yisr of the Tzar, eating truma, with the Misa B'dei Shemaim, is an Yisr, you shouldn't be mevatlet the mitzvah. The same way the kohen is supposed to do the mitzvah, so the Tzar shouldn't do that, that will be a bitl mitzvah. But the kohen is supposed to eat the truma in a fashion of l'mashchel l'gedula, k'derach sham lochem ochlem, in a bekavadikah fashion. The kohen will not be yotze the mitzvah if he's going to eat the truma achila gasa. If he eat matzah and morer, if he eat the korban pesach achila gasa, maybe he will be yotze. But truma is a special din l'mashchel l'gedula, k'derach sham lochem ochlem. So if the kohen will eat the truma, the truma is supposed to be used every piece of truma, whether it's Michael or Mashke or Shemen, is Oymed. It's Oymed l'mitzvasa. The Shemen has to be used for sicha purposes, and the Mashke has to be used for drinking purposes. If you're going to use Mashke for sicha, so that's if the kohen will use the Mashke for sicha or use the Shemen for shtiyah, that'll be a bitul mitzvasa on the part of the kohen. That's how the Rambam writes. Each Michael of truma has an oymed l'mitzvah, so what is it oymed for? What are you supposed to use it for? So all of the truma is oymed to be eaten in a normal fashion. It's not oymed l'mitzvah to be eaten in a fashion of achila gas. So if the kohen will eat the truma in a fashion of achila gas, so he probably will not be yoytze the mitzvah. That's not the normal way you're supposed to eat it. So the male zar who eats it will not be over on the isa zar, because the isa zar is not to be mevatelet in mitzvah. Zar is not allowed to do what the kohen is supposed to do. But from the Rambam is mashma that he holds that it's only these two cases, only Yom Kippur and the Zah Shachal Truma B'Shoigeg, have this din of Achila Gasa. It doesn't apply in Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara has the,
When we were learning Yerid Deir, where Miller pointed out that the Mishnah Lamella in the Sodi Torah quotes the Tosis and Nazir Chakimo, the two, that one is stuffing and one is the Teavan, and he quotes someone who asked a kashan, and then he answers, the Mishnah Melech seems to accept the
Mishnah Melech assumes that nobody disagrees with the Tosis, right?
So Rebbe's pointing out that the Rambam,
the Rambam seems to disagree with Tosis, because he never writes it as a general rule. He only quoted these two Tosis, these two Gemaras. So he spoke yesterday, the Rambam never adds on. When the Rambam adds on to the Gemara, he writes the royally. He only quotes Gemaras. But he'll quote Gemaras with his understanding of the Gemara. He'll interpret the Gemara. He'll generalize. If the Gemara has a din, if the Rambam held like Tosfos, that it's a universal din, then he wouldn't only quote it by Yom Kippur and by Zah Shal Truma. He would quote it. He would consider that quoting a Gemara. He would write, Go'ol macholot asuris, it's only called achilas, yidik kederach achilotis. And the fact that he didn't generalize it is not because it's only matik, the Losh and Gemara, because he didn't understand, probably because he didn't learn like Tosfos. He held that Tosfos is wrong, that it's only a din by Yom Kippur and by Truma, not a general din. They have in the literature from the period of the Gaon, and one of the Rabbanim in the days of the Gaon wrote about this topic in the book of Maccabees. It says that in the days of the Chashmonaim, the Chachamim were matzah to wage war on Shabbos. It had occurred once before that it was not accepted to wage war on Shabbos because Mechal Shabbos Zayin, and the Goyim wiped out a whole battalion of soldiers, and then the Chacham saw that this is no good, so they paskin that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos because it's Pikuach Nefesh. So some misunderstood that passage in the Sefer Chashmonaim as to mean that the Hefter Pikuach Nefesh wasn't developed until the days of the Chashmonaim. That's late into the Bai Sheni period. So for so many centuries they never had a Hefter Pikuach Nefesh. It's not apikuresis to say that the Tanoim and the later generation developed a new din. That we have the Rambam writes that the Bezdin in every generation has the right to darshan the psukim the way they want them to come up. If they can come up with a chiddush in the later generation. But this, one of the Rabbanim who lived, he wasn't one of the Goyim, I forgot his name, he lived in the Tzkuvah Sagan, so he writes an essay about this. He says, this is inconceivable. What they do in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? They had no Cholim Miskenim. Everybody fasted on Yom Kippur, and the older people, let's say someone is 100 years old, 85 years old, and the doctor says, he's going to fast, he'll die. So they let him die. And a woman had a baby on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, so they didn't drive it to the hospital on days of Moshe Rabbeinu. They let her die, they wouldn't do any malachas. Of course they ate on Yom Kippur. So they write, it's inconceivable that the issue only came up in the days of the Chashmonaim. They never had a Shaila Pikuach Nefesh. How can it be? So that's why they explain, no, after there was some, it was an, it had to be called Nefesh, Mistapa, that was there from Sheshit May Bereshit. It must have been there from Matan Tehran. The Chai, whatever the Pasuk, the Gemara has a whole discussion talk on the last Perek in Yuma. The whole marker of the Sugya, Pikoch Nefesh, Deche, Kol HaTar Kula,
suicide. By not eating on your kippah, he's over on suicide.
So the question is, what was the Habamina? The Chmam is dead wrong. What kind of a tzitzkis, what kind of Midas Chassidus is that? To pass on Yom Kippur and to die, it doesn't make any sense at all. Very terrific. I think he quotes the Rivot. There was a Balatay, I don't know if it's the famous Rivot or some other, some Balatayses, fasted on Yom Kippur when he wasn't supposed to, and he died. So the argument that he gives is because Ein Safik made to me their Vada. He knows it's Yom Kippur, it's only a Safik. The doctor said maybe if he leaves, maybe he'll save his life. They said Ein Safik made to me Vada. So Achranim is, that's the Gemara, that's Safik because Nefesh. Is Decha Shabbos and Decha Yantar and Decha Yom Kippur and Decha Kalatar Kulo. Safik, fake, fake, everything is there. So how can he say Ein Safik made to me Vada? So one of the Gzalim wrote is a Tshuva Sefer Dvar Yehoshua. By a Dayan, he was a Galatiani. I think he ran away to Eretz Yisrael after the war, and he was on the Rabbanut. Aaron Berg. Very nice Shula statement. Rav Herzog used to ask him Shaila. He has for the Rabbanut. So he was in the Rabbanut. So he has one essay where he talks about this. So he suggests the following. The way the Sefer used to have to tell the story, it was like this. It was a vadai that he's going to die. He was a chayel sheyesh b'sakana teshuah. And the doctor said, if he fasts for sure, he's going to die. And if he eats, there's a suffix if that will save his life. They're not even sure if that will save his life. He suggested, the Sefer Dvar Yehoshua suggested, that maybe the Rivot knew the din of suffix sakana teshuah. That was, if there's a suffix if the person is sick. If there's a suffix if he's sick, then maybe he's not even sick. But if he's sick, to tell him to eat, then that'll save his life. Or Suffolk, does he have to rush to the hospital? Maybe he's not even sick. But in Slamet that he's sick, they rush him to the hospital, and they'll do the surgery, they'll give him a procedure he will survive in the end. So then, maybe then you say, Suffolk, because Nefesh is Deich, Shabbos, and Deich, Kol HaTar Kula, because you know it's going to have a happy ending. But over here, we know Bavadai that the guy's a Chol HaMasukah. And the doctors say, if he fasts, for sure he's going to die. And if he eats, there's a suffix that maybe that will help him survive. So maybe in this case, only in this type of a case, it's like the Chetka's Vada, he's dying. He's holding by dying now. There's a slim chance that maybe if he eats, maybe this will save his life. So maybe the reason will help this case and say, ain't suffix by Kim Devada. But a normal case where it's not like that, not that the person is Vada'i, Chol HaMasukah, and is Neita Lomus, and maybe this will save his life. Usually the case is Sakeret. Maybe the person can fast and he'll survive on Yom Kippur also. But if he eats, for sure he's going to live. He's not going to die. Hold it, if not. They lived until Yom Kippur. Why should they die from Yom Kippur? Because all year long they're eating regular meals. They're eating healthy meals. So tell them to eat his meals on Yom Kippur. And he'll survive Yom Kippur also, like he survived every Yom Kippur. But then the Rivot would also agree. That's the din of Sofik Tikloch Nefesh. But if he's a Vada in the Sukkah, and the Sofik is maybe even if at least he won't survive, but then he held Ein Sofik best in the Bible. But we don't pass him like that anyway. He just came to explain what the Rivot was all about. We still don't accept it, Lala.
Could the Rivot be doing Rabbi Yochanan himself because of his Jewish Shalava? I mean, is that the matzir?
One is not permitted to do that. No, one is not. There's no Midas Chassidus. The Ramban writes in the Melchamis and Sanhedrin, and Daf Ayin Dalet, and the Sugya Yehoreg Al Yavar, that even in the case where the din is Yavar, but Al Yehoreg, let's say Anafi comes and he holds his gun and he says, you should eat the chazir, otherwise he's going to kill me. So the din is, I'm allowed to eat the chazir, I should eat the chazir and not let him kill me. So Ramban says, it's a midas chassidus, if he wants to volunteer, to be moist and nefesh, al kiddush Hashem, he's permitted to. And other Rishonim disagree. Other Rambam writes that you're not allowed. He's not sure what the din is, are you allowed to or not. So the Achrenim say that Midas Chassidus that the Ramban talks about, that you're allowed to volunteer to be Moshe Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, even though the din should not have been Yehoreg Al Yavar. That's only when there's an anos. When there's someone threatening you, if you won't violate the Aveira, then he's going to kill you. So at least he's dying al Kiddush Hashem. But if a person has a choli, and he's going to die because he doesn't want to be Mechal Shabbos, that's not even a Midas Chassidus. That's nothing with nothing. This is what the Yesh Kepele. What did the Rivot Moshe Nefesh over here? There was no Anos threatening to kill him if he's gonna fast on Yom Kippur. He was a Chayla. A Chayla does not mean a Chassidus at all to fast. That's the Pele. The Gemara has a long sugi in the last parak of Yuma where they talk about the dinim of pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, derech Shabbos, and derech Yom Kippur, and derech Yom Tov, and derech Kol HaTorah Kula. Let's say in the middle of the week, a person is sick, and he has to eat. He has to eat some food, and if he doesn't eat the food, he may die. So the only food that's available is non-kosher food. So the dinim is that pikuach nefesh is derech din. So he's permitted to eat the non-kosher food. What if he has an alternative of either eating ham or of eating chaylev? So the Gemara says, eat the ham, the chaylev is the chanisa karis, and the ham is only an isa malkus. So machila mosa, hakal, hakal, chila. It's better to only violate the lesser of the two evils. If you have a circumstance where for sure one is in a dilemma, that's the definition of a dilemma. He's stuck in a certain, he's going to have to do an avera anyway. Ben Kolkol has to do an avera. So he should choose to do the lesser of the two evils. That's what years ago the Aguda never joined the coalition government in Eretz Yisrael. They said, join the government of Chanavera. It's the Apikursishi government. And then the Mizrahi always belonged to the government because they felt, Abadi, you're working together with Apikursim and you're being masked to all kinds of terrible things. But it's better that you should join. You're not going to join the government, so it'll be against them. Chilul Shabbos, everything will be worse. After many years, after 20 years into the Medina, I think finally the Aguda did join. At that time, Ablazer Shach was still part of the Aguda. Then later he broke off and he made the Degel Atar. At that time he was the main spokesman in the Aguda, the Bad Masik Deg Atar. So he was attacked at that time. Yehari Valyavar, how can you join the coalition? The Goyim, the Tzadikim said, Yehari Valyavar, how can you join the Zionists? So he had to defend himself. So he wrote a letter to Rav Shnia Kotler, who was a relative of his. And he wanted everybody to read his letter, so they hung it up in all the yeshivas. They hung it up here also. It was in his handwriting. He has a special kind of handwriting, so everybody recognized that it was really his Saviyat Kotcher. So he wrote, Avada Tanavera to join the government, but Kibal Mimir Rabbi saying that we have a tradition that when a person is in a dilemma, you have to be Bercha B'Mio Tara'at. You have to choose the lesser of the two evils. Under this, and the lesser of the two evils is not always going to be Shevi Al-Tasa. Sometimes you'll say Sheva Al-Tasa is the lesser of the two evils. If one evil is going to be an Aver Rikon B'Yasei, one would be the Sheva Al-Tasa. So the Gemara says in Erev and Dafkuf, that's one consideration. Gemara's a whole sugyan. Erev and Dafkuf, how do you determine which is the lesser of the two evils? But sometimes the Rikon B'Yasei is considered the lesser. He says, under these circumstances, joining the coalition is the lesser of the two evils. That's the Mizrahi said all along, from day number one. It took 20 years till the Aguda realized also like that they should join. They should join the government. But that's this sugya. That's the sugya machila mosa, akal akal tila. A person has to violate an aver anyway. He has to eat some food in order to save his life, trade for food. But he has an option of either eating, he can either eat chaylev, which has kares, or he can eat tevel, which is misa b'day shamai. So if Martha's kares is worse than misa b'day shamai. So let him eat the tevel, which is only misa b'day shamai. Don't eat the chaylev, which is kares. So the shayla is, let's say it's Yom Kippur. And he has an option, he can either eat kosher food or he can eat trefa food. So which is better? Should he eat the kosher food, should he eat the trefa food? So there's an entertaining tshuva in the Nodi Behuda where he points out that according to the Tana Rav Shimon, Mar has a machlekes in Yuman, and Sochim, and many mesichus, Rav Shimon, and Yivamas, the main two Yivamas, there is a din of Eini Sechal Alisa. But there are exceptions to the rule. It's true that din is ain't isa chalalis, but if the two isurim are chal b'vasachas, the isa b'vasachas for sure is isa chalalis. Hey, menai mafkis, which one are you going to throw out? So they're both chal b'vasachas. They both slide into home base at the same time. What if you have an isur that's chal on top of another isur, but the second isur is an isur koilos? It's not only chal on this chaticha. The second isur is chal on many other chatichas. So do you say, yeah, it's chal on everything else, but it's not chal on this one? But he's saying, no, ligu that the second isur is chal on all the other chatichas, it's chal on this chaticha as well. So that's the machlokes of Reb Shimon and the Chacham. Reb Shimon by Yechoy. Reb Shimon holds that ein isur chal on isur afila idei koil. And the Chacham disagree. We ask him that isur chal on isur idei koil. What's an example? Ha'echon neveila the Yom Kippur. You eat non-kosher food on Yom Kippur. So before Yom Kippur, the non-kosher food is straight. All the kosher food is kosher. The non-kosher food is dead. Comes Yom Kippur. So the Chachamim say, well, the Isser Yom Kippur is chal on all the kosher food. The nigga that is chal on all the kosher food is also chal on the trefer food. So if you eat the trefer food, you'll be in violation of a double aver, eating the veil of the trefer, and also eating eating on Yom Kippur. Rav Shimon says no. He doesn't believe in Issa Kailuch. He doesn't believe in that. He doesn't say Migud that the Issa Yom Kippur is chal on the kosher food is chal also on the trace. The food's up to name. Oich on the day of the Yom Kippur is only like in Mishum Neveli. He's not like in Mishum Yom Kippur. He's not chayiv Kares Mishum Yom Kippur. He's only chayiv Malkus because of Neveli. So the Nebi Yehuda says, so let's say the guy chayil on Yom Kippur, the doctor says he has to eat. So Machila Masa Akala Kal Tchila. So he says, run to the store and buy some trace of food for him. Don't give him kosher food. Give him kosher food as an Issa Kari. Run to the store, buy him the veil as a trace. It's only an Issa Lav. That's Machila Masa Akala Kal Tchila. But of course, we don't fast him like Rav Shimon. We fast him that Issa is Chal Al Issa Ayde Kailo. So Echon the veil of Yom Kippurim. The second Easter is Yom Kippur, is chal on top of the first Easter of Neveva. So if you eat the non-kosher food, that's the Avera Chamur. You'll be violating a double Avera. So by Yat, we would say, no, run to the store and get him some kosher food. Don't say, on Yom Kippur, run to the store and get him non-kosher food. So another example of Machila Masa, Hakala Kalkuma has long, detailed discussions. You have Tevel and you have Chalef, so the Tevel is Misa B'day Shemayim, is less than Chalef. What if you have two Misa B'day Shemayim? You have an option. You can either eat Tevel or you can eat Truman. You're a Tzar. So which is the lesser of the two evils? Which is Libcha B'Niotara? What would Rav Lezer say? Rav Lezer Shach say in such a case? He bowed him around and said to be Bercha B'Niotara. So the Gemara is also again this. How do you determine which is Hakal Hakal Tchilo? So in Shulchan Aruch, there's another example of Akala Kalkhila. True, we pass him like Rabbi Yechanan, the Chati Shir is awesome in our Torah, but there's no Kares, there's no Malkus. If you eat only Chati Shir, it's awesome in our Torah. But there's no Onish on it. If you eat a full Kishir, then there is an Onish. So let's say the doctor says, this patient has to eat on Yom Kippur if he doesn't eat Sakonis. It's a suffix Sakonis. Any slight kashash. In fact, the Mishnah talks about a muuberet. A woman is pregnant and she feels that she has to eat, otherwise something tragic is going to happen, so it says she's permitted to eat. So the question is, what does she think is going to happen? Is she afraid that she may die, or she's afraid she's not going to die? She's only afraid the baby, she'll lose the baby. That's on Pei Beis Hamidala. So the Rishonim say usually, unless you have a doctor who knows what he's talking about, it's always a takana for the mother. If she'll lose the baby, so she can die. Although she's mamish under care, under doctor's care, and the doctor says but he knows medically that there's only a takana to do, but there's no takana to the mother. Usually you don't have such a case. The doctor, what's the din in such a case? Are you permitted to violate Isturei Torah because of the Kroknevish of the Yuba? The Yuba wasn't born yet. Maybe Vachaiba have a Lo Shiyamas Bam only applies on a person who was born already. If he wasn't born, then you should allow him to be born. Maybe the Kroknevish is not there. So that's the famous Machlokes in Rishonim. And what is the Shulchan Aruch Paskin? Doesn't bring up the issue. Tella. Shaila comes up, doesn't bring up the issue. Famous Machlokes in the Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rosh and Erech and Taisus, all the Rishonim talk about, Shulchan Aruch doesn't take a stand. So the later they say the Yesach has an ish, how do you paskin? In rare cases it comes up, because usually, like the Rosh says, whenever it's a Sakana for the Uber, it's a Sakana for the mother also. But in rare cases, that the doctor has to say, no Sakana for the mother, only Sakana for the Uber. Are you allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? So the Chazon Ish says, if it doesn't say, it doesn't give a psak and shulchan aruch, so we say, Safik Mefarshes Lahalcha. That's a cloud that the Beit Yosef has in Hilchos Yom Kippur. It quotes from the Rabbeinu Yerucham. Whenever there's a Safik in Hilchos, whether something is called Pekrach Nefesh Anash, so we say, Mi Safik, that it's also called Safik Sakana Sefarshes. Just like if there's a Safik, if there's a Sakana, so what if there's a Safik, what the din is? We know what the situation is. It's a Sakana to the baby, not to the mother. So that's a Sfeika Dina, not a Safik. So the Beis Yosef goes to the Beni Ruchim. That's also called Safik Sakana Sefarshes Lahakel, that you are Mekel. So that's what the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes. Very strange. Still the days of the Chazon Ish. No one gave a psak on it. I guess it never came up because it was always like the Rosh says. What kind of a doctor is the Kachakir? Whatever is a Safik, she may lose the baby. There's a Safik on her life also. She can die off. But in recent years that we have doctors have better knowledge of what's going on inside. So the Shaila resurfaced and the Chazon Ish said, Laka.
It's just dummy, right?
Right.
So wouldn't that apply here? It would be pusher. Shouldn't it be pusher that it's not the pusher?
Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses, does it relate or not? Does it relate? That's a further literature on that. Is it connected or not necessarily?
Why is it not even called Hala? Because even if you're saying it's a Hala Esther, but the Kavar Ben Isham Gemur still isn't it? I mean,
so this has no Kharis. It has no Kharis. This has Kharis. This does not Kharis. Shimon says, "Erech on the veil of Yom Kippur, he's potter. He's potter b'shul Yom Kippur. So he's only over on the veil.
It has a truly term. It's like Bachat Mishir. It's day in the Ramban. Even there's an onesh, but the onesh is similar to what the Isser is. So the fact that you usually get Kharis Yom Kippur shows Yom Kippur is the Ramban.
Could be. Okay. There's lots to discuss. Not all of Tanoim agree about the Kavar Ben Ishon Gemara. I don't remember what Rav Shimon's opinion is on that issue.
Since Rebbe brought up the Rashi and Erechim and the Rashi and Sanhedrin and the Ron and Kulin, they about the Hebrew Lav Nefeshi.
About abortion, what he brought up, yeah.
Yeah, very good. So, there's a Ramosha says it's Rasicha. Ramosha says it's Rasicha. So, how does Ramosha, it's like he just ignores those Rishonim and says they're all wrong? Or is that what that? What does Yibur Lav Nefeshi mean? I mean, that's really what I'm asking. Does it?
He talks about it.
He does.
Talks about it. Now his opinion is not L'chol HaDeis. He says you have to be concerned about the Rambam. Moshe doesn't say all the Rishonim agree with him. He says that you have to be concerned about the Rambam. And others said he's not mechuyav to be concerned about the Rambam because most of the Rishonim disagree. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote such psak, that whenever you have a chayla mesukon and a doctor say the person has to eat, so he's not going to eat the chashash sakana. So if you have an alternative, you have either you can eat a regular meal, a kishir, or you can eat pachas mikishir. And eat less than the shir and then wait a while, a few minutes, and then eat less than the shir and then eat a little more. And eat what the doctor says is necessary to eat. So then that'll be less of an aver. He's only violating a chatzi shir. So in the Shulchan Aruch they recommend that it's preferable, machil amosa, akal akal shir, it's preferable to violate the aver of chatzi shir rather than to violate the aver of eating a shir sholem. What exactly is the shir sholem? What's the chatzi shir? So we said the shir is kosevis hagasa, which is bigger than an egg, bigger than a beta beninis. And the maloi lugma of the shir for mashke is a rov revis by dadam beinani. And how long is the pause that you have to have? So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Chasam Sofer, has a big chiddush. Turns out to be a chumer. He thinks that you have to wait 9 minutes. He thinks that if you eat the second chatzi shir within 9 minutes of the first chatzi shir, that's called Tefkede Achilos Tras. The Macheshes has there are different opinions. Some say more than some say 10 minutes, some say 2 minutes, 3 minutes. They're all different opinions based on Gemara's how they calculate it. The Macheshes was a dying in Vilna. He died in the middle of the war. At the same time, he was older than Rav Chaim Moshe, and he died after Rav Chaim Moshe. Rav Chaim Moshe died young. So the Macheshes has in his sefer, he says, Achush Makrish, he says, Chasam Sofer is dead wrong. He says, it's impossible that it should be 9 minutes. Chasam Sofer bases it on the Gemara, in the Bamem Adlikin. So he says, it's impossible. It can't be 9 minutes. Anyway, but that's the minute I look. If it's possible, so the person should eat chatzishir and then wait 9-10 minutes, they need another chatzishir, the amount that the doctors recommend that they should eat to remove the suffix sakon. He shows from Gemara that it can't be. Also, you see Matthias that it's so. You can eat the prat much faster than 9 minutes. Let's take 9 minutes to eat a prat. But the minig is that whenever possible to be machma, like the Mishnah Brura says. Mishnah Brura quoted the Chasam Sofer that it's 9 minutes. The Mishnah in the beginning of the Terek has a heterim that some people are permitted to violate some of the inuyim. So it says, Melech Hakala Yirchatu as Peneim. The Melech is allowed to wash his face. Because the Melech has to appear, Melech Biyofio Techazeno in Echa, the Mark wrote the post. Melech always has to appear in public, all through stuff. And the Kala, she just got married, so she doesn't want her husband to have Charotte from the Shidduch, so the Kala is allowed to wash his face. And the Shulchan Aruch says that Bizman is there, that the women stay in the women's section all day long. The guy never sees his wife, so why should she? What's the hesed to wash her face? So the Zman is that we don't use this hesed. We don't follow this hesed. So here the Rishonim have a whole discussion regarding the Shari Nuyim. Should we assume that all of the Hamisha Inuyim are there, right? Despite the fact that there's only Karet and Achilishti and the others there's not? Or should we perhaps assume that's how the Rambam seems to hold, all the Hamish Inuyim are there, right? And the Ran brings Raisa that all the Hamish Inuyim are there, right? And the Rabbi Natam and most of the Bali Atayis assume, no, that only Achilishti is the Raisa, so there's Karet. And the others, there's no Karet, means that it's only the Rabbanah. The other Inuyim are only the Rabbanah. So this is one of the Raisa that they bring. If Rechitza really constitutes an Issa their Raisa, so how can you be Mata, the Melech and the Kala, that she should name ice by her husband? We don't want the Chassan to back out from the Shidduch. What do you mean? It's a Pikroch Nefesh. Someone's going to die. Meish Teres Shalom Bayis, so that's called the suffix Pikroch Nefesh, that you're allowed to violate an Issa their Raisa. So you see, the parents said it's only an Issa the Rabbanon, Vehimamru. Since it's only the Rabbanon, so they had a right to be made. So the Taisa Shishanim on the bottom of the page raises the issue. Isn't it a riot to our opinions that Rechitza and the other Inuim is only the Rabbanon? So he says, maybe not so. Maybe Rechitza, maybe the Rambam is right that Rechitza is really a violation of their Raisa. But the issue of their Raisa is only Rechitza's Kolaguf. Rechitza's Miktus Menaguf, that's already only the Rabbanon. Oh, so you're back. Once you say just washing the face is only the Rabbanon, so you say, hey, Mama, so that's why they had a right to be Matur for the Melech and the Kala. So Achreinim are bothered with this teretz that the Tzeis Hashem suggested. What happened to the din of Chatzishir Asim and Atar? If Rechitza's Kol Aguf constitutes an Issa Deraisa, the Rechitza's Miktus Min Aguf should also be an Issa Deraisa of Chatzishir. Chatzishir, you're not Matir Stam for fun. Chatzishir, only Matir when it's a Sofik Sakana. It's an Issa Deraisa. You have to have a Sofik Sakana to be Matir. Anything less than a Sofik Sakana, you're not Matir. And here you mat the rechitzes mixes in aguf. That's the right. That the whole rechitzes only the rabban. So the achrayim answer. You achrayim have it. The emek bracha has this, and others have it as well. This is not a chatzishir. This is like the neiri writes in the first parak in Shabbos. Akasha, if you're not allowed to carry dalal amos and the rishus the rabbanas and you should the raisa, so how come you're allowed to carry two amos and put it down? The Gemara says that's hetzer gomer. You're permitted to pick something up and put it down 2 amos away. There's an issa the rabbanah if you carry pachas nidal and amos. I pick something up here, I put it down after 3.5 amos, then I pick it up again, I put it down after 3.5 amos. So the end result was that it moved 7 amos away, but I did it with a trick by making anach in between. So that's awesome of the rabbanah. That's awesome of the rabbanah. But just to carry 3 amos and to put it down, that's hetzer gomer, even with the rabbanah. There isn't even an issa the rabbanah. So the Miri asks, why not? Chatzishir asim and asher. He says, no, that's not a chatzishir. That's a chatzim alocher. It depends whether the shir, the ragachava has such a terminology. Is it a shir mikuda or is it a shir mitzareh? When you say that you need a kezayis in order to get malchus, so the Gemara says it's chatzim mitzareh. It means less than a kezayis is also a chazer. It's also a basa b'chavah. It's also a treif. The other thing is, you have to accumulate enough treifas in order to get malchus. But if you eat a less than a shir, you're also eating treifas. As opposed to carrying dalal amos b'shusar, if you carry only 2 amos, that's a shir nekuda. Up until the point of having dalal amos, you don't have anything. You want most years b'shus l'shus. Dalal amos is makom m'shalachefet. That's how the Balamor writes. Dalal amos is makom m'shalachefet. If you carry more than dalal amos, you took the chefet out of its makom and you put it into a new makom. But if each time you carry 3 amos and you put it down, you didn't move it out of its makom. It's still in the same makom. So whenever the shear is not a shear mitzvah, it's a shear nekuda, then it doesn't apply. You can't say chatzishir asman atar. That's what these Rishonim apparently hold. That Rechitza, the Rambam apparently holds, Rechitza's kol aguf is the Yisra deraisa. Rechitza's miktus min aguf is maximum only in Yisra derabbanan. So that's why they were able to make a hetzer for the melech and the kala. Because you're not really dealing with the deraisa. So you can say, hey mama, hey mama. Yeah, but let's say a guy says, I took a shower. He says, I took a bath. So that has one mashmah. Then he says, I washed my face. That's not the same as a chatzishir of a bath. If there's no hot water, and he can't take a shower, he can't take a bath. But then, of course, he's going to wash pan of the other. He's going to wash every at a time, because he doesn't like a cold shower or a cold bath. He's going to wash every at a time. But under normal circumstances, washing the face is not considered. He took a half a shower. Lots of many arguments did. Sometimes it'll be questionable whether it's a Shia Nikud or Shia Mitzvah. The Rosh Hashanah has it in other areas as well. He has an essay where he discusses the Shia Mikveh, that a Mikveh needs Memstor. So do you say that basically a Mikveh with the Rebiyas is a Mikveh? But the Halacha says you have to Mime should call Gufa Adabahem, it's a Shia Mitzvah. Or should you say no, until the point that you get the Memstor, you don't even have a Shia Mikveh, it's a Shia Nikud. And he gives Nafkiminis in this. The Gemara talks about putting on shoes on little children, even though they're before Bar Mitzvah, little babies, before Kodim Sheigia Lechino. So the Gemara says, there's a din of Otzah L'Hachilo B'Yadayim. You're not allowed to put on shoes on a child, on your, leather shoes on a child on Yom Kippur, because even though it's L'Hachilo B'Yadayim, there's a din of Otzah L'Hachilo B'Yadayim. So what about feeding food to a child? There's a sakana. So of course you feed the food. What if it's not a sakana? Let's say the kid is 7 years old. He'll fast all day, so he'll be uncomfortable. He's not going to die. So you let him eat on his own. You tell him, look kid, if you're hungry, go take food. Is the parent allowed to give him the sandwich and they say, you sit down and eat this sandwich? So that's a big machlokes. The Minchas Chinuch writes such a chiddush. Also, l'achila b'adayim is a nisa deraisa. And you're only allowed to violate it when there's a suffix sakana. On very small children, suffix may cause a complication. But once the baby is not so little, so tell a kid, look, if you want to eat the food, there's plenty of sandwiches in the refrigerator. But to be machila b'yadayim, to sit over the kid and insist that he has to eat it, so the Minchas Chinuch thinks that you're not permitted to. It's also l'achila b'yadayim, like the Gemara says on Ayin Ches and Beis about putting on the leather shoes. That it's also l'achila b'yadayim. Rabbi Natam in the Sefer Yosher has a tshuva about this, and he makes fun of those Rishonim who said like the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch didn't have a Sefer Yosher. So he says, that's ridiculous. He says, it's mavur from the Gemara that whatever Haina Revise, Gemara says, whatever is normal for the health of a child, raising children, there's no din of Otzah L'Achila B'Yadayim. He says, normal is that you see to it that the children eat healthy food every day. You don't have them fast, even once a year, you don't have them fast. Rabbi Natam thinks that there's no din of Otzah L'Achila B'Yadayim. Just a din of Chinuch. The Mishnah has there is a din of Chinuch, that when the child reaches a certain age, you have to be mechanech the child to fast. If the child is healthy, so then the pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch is that 2 years before Bar Mitzvah he's supposed to fast the whole day, and 2 years before, 2 years before, he's supposed to fast the half a day. And before that, you should... Yeah, that's a mafeach, I'll say that Rasha. Yeah. They quote that there were those who had such a midas chassidus, and he holds that it's not right. He holds that you're not allowed to do such a thing. Unless the child is a gila chinuch, then you have to be mechanech the child.
Doesn't the Shoshanim discuss from that Mishnah, it mentioned girls, that chinuch by girls?
Right, the Mishnah says, on girls also there's a din of chinuch, Girls are bat mitzvah a year before, so 2 years before bat mitzvah would have to fast the whole day, and 2 years before, 2 years before, the parents have to train them to fast the half a day. Before that, the Yerushalmi recommends you shouldn't allow them to fast, because it may cause sakana. Yeah. That's what Rabbi Natan says. I think that is the common practice, like Rabbi Natan, yes.
But that on that mission, the person says, okay, doesn't that get back to the issue? If you say, like in Kippur, they dig up a lotas that already said, but the process is the kiyamase, when isn't that just the end of the discussion about being the Hanukkah girls, like at the end of the third paragraph, about Ase, the narrative process, say it's funny, and then could be open to tell. So how far do we go with being the Hanukkah girls?
Chinuch Habanus, yeah, that's the discussion. There is a Gemara in Nazir that says, on Daf Kof says, that there's no mitzvah chinuch on daughters, only on sons. So the Rishonim ask, what do you do with this Mishnah? The Gemara talks about chinuch to train the daughters to say on Yom Kippur also. So the Rishonim explain, how can it be that there's no chinuch on daughters? That's impossible. The daughters are not Jewish. Of course there's chinuch on daughters. The Gemara, the context of the Gemara and Nazir and Al-Kav Tess is the following. That if Baha'av Madir is Ben Obinaz, the father can force his child, who's only 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old, to observe the laws of Nazir. The kid is screaming, what are you making me crazy? I want to take a haircut. I want to have a Kiddush in Abdullah. He wants to go to a funeral. Someone famous died. Father says, no, I made you a Nazir. You're not allowed to take a haircut. So what kind of a din is that? So there's a machlokes in the Gemara. So Rav Yechanan says that it's halacha ma'aseh misina. That's what we assume. And Rish Lakish says, no, it's mitam chinuch. So the Gemara says, bishleim, if you don't like Rav Yechanan, the whole thing is halacha ma'aseh misina. So we understand what it says in the Mishnah. Only the father can force it on his son. The mother cannot force it on the son. The father cannot force it on the daughter. And the mother cannot force it on the daughter. Halacha ma'aseh misina, kach ne'emar Allah. You can't extend halacha ma'aseh misina. But if you all like Rish Lakish, that it's a din of chinuch, so how come it doesn't apply to the mother? How come it doesn't apply to the daughter? So the Gemara says, because there's no chinuch on the mother, and there's no chinuch on the daughter. So the Rishonim say, it means that kind of chinuch. The kid says, I don't want to be a Nazir. When I grow up, no one else is a Nazir. You're not a Nazir. Are you making me crazy? Why should I be a Nazir? That's a special din. Father-son relationship, if the father is normal, and he thinks that it's important to be mechanech his son to observe Naziris, even that goes also. Even though the kid his whole lifetime later doesn't have to be a Nazir, and no one else in the community is a Nazir, he's the only one who's going to stand up like a sore thumb. Special din doesn't apply to the daughters and doesn't apply to the mothers. But a noble din of chinuch, that the Rishonim say, of course the mother has a chiyuv chinuch, and of course there's a chiyuv chinuch towards the daughters as well. Chinuch about teaching Gemara, that's that the Gemara recommends, that you shouldn't teach Talmud to the women. It's a different chinuch. But here we're talking about chinuch training and mitzvahs. This chinuch applies to the women. In the Tshuvas HaGaonim, they have in the end of Yuma, the Gemara says it's required that the Chazan should recite the Seder HaVoidah in the Chazoras HaShat. It never says explicitly which Chazoras HaShat. So does it only refer to Musaf like Malchus Shulchan Shofar, but Tkiyah Shofar is not in every Shmona Esrei. We, our practice is we only Lo Shofar and Musaf, and we say Malchus Shulchan Shofar is in Musaf. So should we assume that it's the same over here? Should we assume that it's in Shacharis as well? Where did they get the idea that it should be Shacharis? No one had such a practice. Did he write in Baghdad there was such a practice? In Baghdad there was such a practice. So the Shaila was, are they doing right or not? So they all say Te'echot, that no. Nah, it's the same as Kiyah Shofar. You know, if you say Seder Avodah and Musaf, there's no need to have it in Shacharis. In Baghdad they had it, and they quote it as Rav Sadigon, as somebody who lived in Baghdad before he moved to the yeshiva. So he couldn't convince the Balabatim to change their practice. So he humored them along, and he went along with it. So he also said Seder Avodah. And after him also, the Rabbanim in Baghdad can never straighten it out. They said, all right, got a hefsek. So they let them, the lotion that they have in the Eitzer HaGaynim, from the Tshuvas HaGaynim is, that mitoch habivuso, they enjoyed saying the Seder Avodah so much, and that's why they introduced the Seder in Shacharis. They themselves knew that it wasn't Medina. They had it as a minig that they said. Tamikir Adin, the only Seder in Musa. That's our practice. Chazan is really supposed to say the whole Seder Avodah out loud. Usually in the shul, they don't say it out loud. Usually everybody says along. So they quote from the Zulma Goyim. It's supposed to be part of the Chazor Sashat, part of the Nusach HaTzila. He's supposed to, when you say along, they have a taste it. But he's supposed to say it out loud. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that one should be careful when they're davening in shul, you should try to begin Musaf before 1:15. 1:15 is half an hour after Chatzos. Now that's the earliest you can daven Mincha. So the Mechaber writes, you should be careful that they should start Musaf before 1:15, because otherwise there's going to be a Machlokes and Rishonim. Maybe you have to daven Mincha first, because there is a din in the Gemara Brachos that if it's in the afternoon, on Rosh Chodesh, on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, and you're interested in davening Musaf and Mincha, so which one should you daven first? So the Gemara says, Tadah B'Shena Tadah, Tadah Kodesh, you should daven Mincha first before Musaf. So if you start Musaf before 1:15, the Mincha's not in the running, you can't daven it. But if you're going to wait till after 1:15, then it's going to be a Machlokes HaRishonim, because some Rishonim say that this doesn't apply to Tzibur. That halacha that you daven Musaf before Musaf, that's only the Yochid. If you're going to do this with Tzibur, you'll sit today the Olam completely. You'll have it, at least half of the Baal Batim will be totally disoriented. They always daven Mincha before Musaf. And others hold, whatever you do all year long, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov, but not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a whole Seder Avodah. You know what the Mishan and the Seder Avodah? The Seder Avodah has it, you got to have Mincha after Musaf. Just like you're not allowed to be Mishan anything else on Yom Kippur and the Seder Avodah, so you shouldn't be Mishan of this either. But still, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Chazan should see to it, they should cut out a couple of Mishaberach, and they should cut out a couple of Piyutim, and the Chazan shouldn't daven too long Shabbos. They should see to it that they start Musaf seats. That's what the Chazanish comments. You see from his Gemara that if it would be in the Beis HaMikdash, they would bring the Talmid Shaul Bein Arbaim before the Musaf. That's what he said. You see from his Gemara that if we would be in the Beis HaMikdash, they would bring the Talmid Shaul Bein Arbaim before. Yeah.
Is the capital that the Tiber on the previous thing that they're saying the capital that the Tiber shouldn't say that they're not right at all? Is that what the Tiber saying?
If they're saying the Seder Avodah will interfere with their ability to hear, then they shouldn't say. But if they'll say so, if the Chazan is saying it too, if the Chazan is saying it out loud, which usually he's not saying out loud, the Chazan is saying it out loud, and they're saying it, someone's going to say it out loud, so that'll interfere with everybody listening to them. They should tell everybody to be quiet, not to say it, and everyone should listen to the Chazan. Third, that most of the communities, the Chazan does not say the whole Seder Avodah, so then you got to say, you have no choice, so then everybody has to say. By some Hasidic communities, they have a minig bedavka to have a pause of an hour on Yom Kippur before Kriyas HaTorah of Mincha, Zecha LaMikdash, because in the Beit HaMikdash it says that the middle of the Seder HaVodah, the Kangala used to pause for an hour before Kriyas HaTorah. Why? Because he gave the Seder HaMishtaleach to the Ish Iti, and it says Vishilach HaSasar B'Yad Ish Iti HaMidbara. Now, what do you mean HaMidbara to the Midbar? No, the Ish Iti has to take it all the way to the Tzuk. Push it over the cliff, the Chilat Tzuk. So the answer is on the Chilat Tzuk that the Ishiti does on his own. That has nothing to do with the Kangaroo. But the Kangaroo says Vishilach, that Ishiti Amidbara, the Kangaroo is considered, they Shluchu Shalom Kamosa apparently, is considered as if he's sending the Sayyar HaMashtaleach to the Midbar. Once it's the Gila Midbar, so the job of the Kangaroo is over. The job of the Ishiti is not over. The Ishiti has to continue. So the Mishnah implies that the Kangaroo has to stand in the Azorah with the Big Dekuna on up until Higiyah HaSoyel Azazel. Now the next step after Higiyah HaSoyel Azazel, then the Ishiti has to go weiter, but the Kangaroo can proceed to the next step. Next step is that he Bolo Kangaroo Likrus. He goes to Lein Kriyas HaTorah. So how long did that take from the time that he gave the story HaMashtaleach to the Ishiti to Higiyah LaMidbar? So the Mishnah says it took the amount of time that it takes to walk Gimel Milah. To give a million, it's about an hour. A million is 18 minutes, that's 22 and a half minutes. It's 72 minutes, something like that. An hour, now, and a quarter, something like that. So that's why in many Hasidic communities, there's a expected to make a Zecher LaMikdash, to have a pause before the Kriyas HaTorah Mincha of an hour and a half, just like the Kangaroo had a pause. But the Kangaroo was standing in the Azorah, yeah, he wasn't kibitzing around. He saw to it that he was doing holy things there in the Azara. What exactly is the nature of the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha is a machlokes among the Rishonim. Because when do we have Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha? We have Shabbos afternoon, we have. Normally we don't have. Shabbos afternoon you have, and you have Anatanis Tibur. You have Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. So that's a machlokes in Rishonim, whether the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur afternoon is because Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, or because Yom Kippur happens to be Anatanis Tibur. What's the difference? So there are several differences. So one difference is the Marcheshes has this. Marcheshes was the Dain of Vilna. Rav Soloveitchik said this. He heard it from the Dain. He never read his Sefer. He heard it from Hanukh Egish. So he, Rabbi Kidega has the following topic. It's a balabas, a religious balabas, as an old man, and the doctor says he has to eat on Yom Kippur. That he doesn't wear shoes and he doesn't violate any of the other inuim. He's observant, but eating on Yom Kippur. The doctor said he has to eat. So can you give him an aliyah to shachar? So Rabbi Kibeger assumes yes. Why not? Why shouldn't you be able to get? He's observing the laws of Yom Kippur. He's observing the laws of dinah. But the shachar is, can you give him an aliyah to mincha? So that Rabbi Kibeger has a topic and it's true. But whether the kriyas hatorah to mincha is like on a tiny people, so you can only give those people who are fasting, even if you have a heter not to fast. But Lamaite, the bottom line, you're not fasting, so you have no shaykhus with the Kriyas HaTorah. Should we assume, no, that the Kriyas HaTorah, Yom Kippur Timimcha, is B'Torah, Yom Kippur, B'Torah, Kedushas HaYom, like Shabbos, he's observing all the laws that he can observe, even though it's not a ton. The Rebbe Kibega has this topic. So the Machesh is right, he thinks that it should depend on the Machloikis, the Mechab and the Ramor, which is the Machloikis and the Mordechai, Machloikis among the Rishonim. When the Baal Maftir, Maftir Yoina, And he says, Brachas after, does he end Magen David like on a tiny Sibur? Does he continue to say the last Brach, Allah Terah, the Allah Abad, the Allah Yom HaKippurim HaZeh? And then he ends up, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekad, Melech, Melech HaBeselech, Lava Yisam, Melech HaMelech, Melech HaKol Horus Mekad, Yisrael, Yom HaKippurim. If the Kriya Tatar is the Torah's Tainu Sibur, so you end off Magen David. But if that's how the Ramot says, that's the meaning by most Ashkenazim, by most Ashkenazim. And if the Rav said that in Ramoshin the meaning was like the Mechaber, because the Goyen Pasch is like the Mechaber that you do say the last Brocha. And if the Kriya Tatar by Minchas, the Torah's Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur, then the Stami should say the last Brocha, the Brocha of Kedusha Sayyam also. These two issues are totally zebizeh. Then Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that we have an issue of a minig that's also totally zebizeh. The minig usually is that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Baal Torah lames the Kriyas HaTorah with a different truck, a very eerie truck. And the one who gets an Ali also says, Baruch Hu Hashem, Hamer Vayroch, a different nigin. And on Mincha, there are different minhagim, whether the Baal Torah lames regular Kriyas, regular truck, and whether the one who gets an Ali says the regular Baruch Hu Hashem, Hamer Vayroch, are still with the eerie nigin. So he said, the Rav Soloveitchik said, if the Baal Korah, if you know the Baal Korah is going to lay this kind of chop or that, so the one against the Aliyah should do corresponding to the Kriya. If he's going to lay with the special Yamam Naroim, the Eri Nigan, so the one against the Aliyah should say the Baruch HaShem Avach with the Eri Nigan. If he's going to lay regular, he should say the Baruch is regular. What does this depend on? They said, oh, this is the Shaila of Rabbi Kivega. This is the Machlek, this is the Mechaba and the Ramah. Whether the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha is B'Torah Yom Kippur, so it's like Yom HaMeroimdik. Or is it B'Torah HaTorah B'Tavis? There's nothing Yom HaMeroimdik about it. It's like a regular HaTorah B'Tavis. Thanks to be HaTorah B'Tishrei. The Tainus Sibur, the end Magen David, and it's not a Kriya B'Torah Yom Kippur at all. It's not B'Torah's... Now, so Reichik said his family tradition is like in Valozhin, like the Vilna Gaon, that they do say Allah Torah be Allah Veda, but he says his heart tells him that it's just not so. He says the Haftarah sounds like a Master Yain, it sounds like a regular Kriya of a Tainus Sibur. From the choice of the Haftarah, he has the distinct impression that it's not the Torah's Yom Kippur. The theme seems to be like a Tainus Sibur. The Gemara has a din in Masechta Shabbos and in Yuma that late in the afternoon, min amincha lamayla means from mincha ktana on. Mincha ktana is 2.5 hours before the end of the day. Min amincha lamayla, it's permissible to do knivas yerek in siyas ha-gozim, to prepare for Matzor Yom Kippur. Siyas ha-gozim means hachana, just preparing the food for Matzor Yom Kippur. Usually, not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for Matzoi Shabbos, but that's only an Issa Derabbanan. Let's say to set the table, to eat Matzoi Shabbos, that's an Issa, it's not an Issa Deraisa. It's on Yom Kippur, they were matirid, Mishum Magmas Nefesh. He tiru in the Fatsir, guys, and Mishum Magmas Nefesh. And he tiru Kniva Tierek, that not only is that Hachana, you're preparing on Yom Kippur for Matzoi Yom Kippur, that Issa Derabbanan. There's a Malacha Derabbanan involved. There's a Malacha Derabbanan of Borer. Apparently, the Knivas Yerek, where the Rambam writes, he's taking out the Alim Hamu Poshim, he's taking out the rotten leaves, the spoiled leaves, for the rest of the leaves. So why? So the Kesem Mishnah quotes the Kasha from the Ramak, that's Brera Min HaTorah. How are they Matir and Issa Deraisa? So he quotes the Rav Meir HaKoyim, the Ramak, who says, no, that the Alim Hamu Poshim are not absolutely rotten, they're not Roil Achilil. Some people would eat it. It's Roil Achila Deatchak. But that's why he thinks that it's only Borer Midrabbanan. So therefore, since the whole tradition is only Midrabbanan, so they were Matir. He Tirut Nivaser. What does it mean, Mishum Agmas Nefesh? That there is a Machloikis so Rishayim how to translate the words. In the end of Shabbos, in Perek Kol Kisrei, I think. So Rashi says, Mishum Agmas Nefesh. As soon as the tarnus is over, the guy's going to be starving. So give him a break, so let him at least prepare some food that he should be able to eat. Not allowed to cook the food. On Yom Kippur from Matzor Yom Kippur. But whatever's not a malacha, whatever's only hachana, so that they were matir, so that he knows Yesh Lepas to start, he knows that the food is ready as soon as they blow shofar after Nila, so he'll be able to hear Abdullah and run to eat the food. That's what Rashi learned. To remove the Agmas Nefesh, to remove his hunger pangs. So yeah, in the Dharma Nishesh Lepas Pasala, Nishema Pasala, he knows that the food is already ready and waiting. The Balamor is quoted on the side of the Gemara, and printed on the bottom of the wrist, and they printed it on the side of the Gemara. Balamor gives the opposite shot. No, the